Disc 2.
The ninth aha, wealth, is freedom. Life is a seminar. You were enrolled at birth. You can't get out of it even by dying. So enjoy it. You came into this seminar with no instruction manual. Allow this book to positively change that. Financially, you may be winning or losing just now. We want you to win. We want you to perpetuate your wins. We want you to catch what we call a winfection. With a winfection, you become an unstoppable magnet that wins and wins and wins. To prepare you for the seminar called Your Life, we want to teach and inspire you to attract money and lots of it. This is the incredibly important inaugural freedom called money freedom. You want to have enough money so that all your future days are prepaid. You'll work because you want to work, not because you have to work. You can contribute big time because you are no longer a wage slave owned by your job. Because you are free to risk. When this happens, imagine the incredible difference you can make. You can expand your sense of who you really are and become the great server you were meant to be. You can set big goals. You can assemble your dream teams. You can be a fully abundant person, fully functioning. You are a masterpiece in process, becoming ever better, more fulfilled, and totally happy. Having accomplished your first evolutionary step of money freedom, you now pass go and move on to time freedom. Time freedom doesn't mean you don't work. It means that your work is your play. Your play becomes your work. You savor it. You own it. Work does not own you. You feel comfortable and calm taking time off. You start by taking off an extra day here and there. You build up to taking off a week per month or eventually 3 months per year when you can forget about work totally and completely. Yet your income continues to expand, increase, and multiply. When you return to work, you are rejuvenated, refreshed, and ready to have breakthrough ideas that will leverage you forward. With time and money freedoms, you can pursue relationship freedom. You and your loved ones will have one of life's most precious gifts, love and time to explore it. You can go deep into your primary relationship and make it sing, whistle, hum, and dance. You have what others only dream about, the freedom to make your commitment to each other deep, poignant, meaningful, intimate, and lastingly cherishable. You can now investigate your spiritual beingness. You can work towards achieving spiritual freedom. You can discover who you are in God and who God is in you. Let's not forget physical freedom. Health is the ultimate wealth. With time to exercise and money to buy the finest nutrition, nutritional supplements, and health care, you can maintain your health for as long as humanly possible. These five great freedoms give you ultimate freedom, the ability to pursue your real genius. According to groundbreaking research by Dr. Howard Gardner at Harvard University, each of us has genius in us. With ultimate freedom, you have a choice to discover your true genius and how you can uniquely apply it.
The tenth aha, it all starts with a dream. Where will you be 5 years from today? Are you still living in the same house, driving the same car, working at the same job? Does 5 years pass and make you older, grayer, fatter, and deeper in debt? Or do you see a brighter future? Let's go there. Ask yourself, how good could life be 5 years from today? Pretend that all your dragons have been slain, all your demons have been banished. The way is clearer before you. Just you and anything you want in 5 years or less. Lift yourself above the burden of your current life and ride on the wings of imagination into the future. Imagine your dream home. Walk up to the front door and step inside. What's the first thing you see? Smell the smells in that house. Hear the sounds. How does that resonate with you? Who lives in that house with you? How exquisite are your relationships? How does it feel to love and be loved? What do you look like in 5 years? Are you healthier? More fit? Let the ideal you emerge. Are you in tune with your higher power? Are you living the divine life? Do you enjoy peace of mind, expanded awareness, and even bliss? Give yourself permission to dream a big dream. See yourself living a life of balance financially, spiritually, socially, and physically. You've got it all, and it's good. Tonight, as you drift off to sleep, imagine this bright future in vivid detail. Tomorrow, when you wake, awaken inside your dream world. See it. Taste it. Hear it. Smell it. And feel it. Do this every day for the next 90 days. And notice the amazing things that will start to spontaneously happen in your life. What's important to you about transforming this dream into reality? Take a piece of paper out and write it down. When you do this, you're becoming an enlightened millionaire.
The 11th aha, clarity is power. Every book on success talks about the importance of goals, but almost none of them talks about how to think about your goals. Decades ago, a success philosopher named Neville gave us the secret. He said, "Don't think of your goals, think from your goals." In other words, rather than thinking of your future dream home, think from your dream home. Imagine yourself actually living in that dream home as if you were already there. Imagine walking in the front door of your dream home. What do you see? What do you smell? What do you hear? What can you taste? How does it feel to have acquired this home? What are you saying to yourself at that moment? Actually experience living there. That's the difference between simply thinking of your dream home and thinking from it. How important is it to do this? In his book, Golf My Way, Jack Nicklaus revealed how he used this technique to become one of the greatest golfers of all time. Before each shot, he created a mental movie of the entire golf shot in his head. Quote, "I never hit a shot, even in practice, without having a very sharp, in-focus picture of it in my head. It's like a color movie. First, I see the ball where I want it to finish, nice and white and sitting up high on the bright green grass. Then the scene quickly changes, and I see the ball going there, its path, its trajectory and shape, even its behavior on landing. Then there's a sort of a fade-out, and the next scene shows me making the kind of swing that will turn the previous images into reality." End of quote. Here's another great example. The world held its collective breath during the 1984 Olympics as American gymnast Mary Lou Retton stood at the end of the mat preparing for her final vault. The stakes couldn't be higher. She had to get a perfect score, a 10, or lose it all. Lose the dream, the goal, the team pride, everything. She closed her eyes for a few seconds, then got into position, ran like a demon on fire, and nailed a perfect 10 off the pommel horse to clinch the gold medal for herself and Team USA. When asked by reporters afterward what she was thinking when she closed her eyes before her run to victory, she told them she saw herself doing every motion precisely, flawlessly, and achieving a perfect score. There are times in life when everything is on the line. It's either 100% or nothing. Trying and striving doesn't get you brownie points. Only achieving does. That's why it's so critical to visualize your goals clearly. As you practice this new method of vivid visualizing, you will find that your self-image begins to conform to these new images in your mind. You will literally begin to grow into the new millionaire you.
The 12th aha, more clarity is more powerful. Goals are critical to your success. We recommend you start a special notebook on your goals. Whenever you think something that you would like to accomplish in your life, write it down or put it in your computer in your goal book. Then, on a daily basis, write your 6 major goals. Do this in the morning as you start your day. Don't just read your goals aloud, but physically write them down again on paper. We learned this idea from our friend Brian Tracy, the famous public speaker. He writes his major goals down every day. It magnetizes his mind to do what he really wants to do and accomplish what he really wants to accomplish. To keep yourself balanced, record your top 6 goals in each of the 6 major areas or resources of your life. Body, your physical goals. Brain, your intellectual goals, the books you're going to read, the amount you're going to study each and every day. Being, your spiritual goals, the time you spend meditating, cogitating, ruminating, and praying. Time, your organizational goals. People, your people goals concerning the most important people in your life. Money, your financial goals, both net worth and earning power goals. In addition, affirm each of these 6 goals daily as if you'd already achieved your success. In writing on that 3x5 card, for instance, if your money goal is to earn $100,000 this year, take plenty of time off and you would write the following card. I am so happy and grateful I'm earning $400 per working day, only working 250 days this year. Note that you start your goal affirmation with happy because most people don't know whether they're happy or sad. Choose to be happy. It doesn't cost anymore. It's an attitude that will give you altitude in business and life. It's a state of mind that will attract many good things. Then write what your service, product, or information that you plan to render is and the quantity and quality of that service you're going to render. I am providing excellent value by selling X number of products to X number of satisfied customers each and every day. If you miss sale on Monday, you have to make 2 on Tuesday, and if you miss Monday and Tuesday, then you got to make 3 on Wednesday, and so on. Keep this 3x5 card with you as you go throughout your day. On a single card, affirm all 6 of your major goals. Read these goals aloud 4 times a day at breakfast, lunch, dinner, and just before you go to sleep. This last step is the most important because your mind never sleeps. It does what's called thought projection. It goes out into your future all the time you're sleeping. Sign and date the card and get one other person with whom you are committed to do the same. Follow up with this person weekly to prove you are on track. Change and upgrade your card at least monthly. Think only of what you want, never of what you don't want. Visualize you're earning the kind of money you need to reach your goals. Write it, read it, say it, see it, feel it, believe it. Notice how your goals magically materialize into your life.
The 13th aha. Tap into your genius. Are you a genius? Expressing your genius is knowing what you want to do with your life and doing it because it expresses who you really are. Tiger Woods, Oprah, Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, they're expressing their genius. They're living the life they were born to live. It's hard to imagine them doing anything else. No wonder they're so successful. Here are 4 characteristics of people who are expressing their genius. Number 1, passion. They love what they do. If they weren't getting paid, they'd do it for free. Number 2, talent. They're good at what they do. Call it talent, ability, or genius. They've got it. Number 3, values. Doing what they do is extremely important to them. And number 4, destiny. They have a sense that what they're doing is what they were born to do, making their own unique contribution. It's almost a spiritual thing. It's their destiny. Is genius only found among the great? Absolutely not. We believe that every person has unique genius, including you. You have unique talents, abilities, interests, and values that only you can bring into greatness. You have a destiny that only you can fulfill. How do you begin to tap into your genius? Let me ask you some questions and what I call the 4-part genius list. The purpose of this exercise is to help you become aware of more aspects of your unique personality. The more you access these parts of yourself, the more energy you will feel in your daily activities, the more fulfillment you will experience, the more success you will have, and the faster you will become a millionaire. Question number 1. What about your passion? Let me ask you these questions. What do you love to do? What activities give you satisfaction? What excites you about life? What is your secret ambition? What are your hobbies? As you write these things down, it'll give you a clue about the things you are passionate about. Question number two, talent. What are you good at? What do you get complimented on? Where have you excelled in the past? Where have you been successful? What are some of your strengths? As you write down the answers to these questions, it will give you a clue about some of your talents. Question number three, values. What is important to you? What would you do if you were wealthy? What do you stand for? And what won't you stand for? What would you risk your life for? As you answer these questions, it will give you a clue about the things that you value the most. Question number four, destiny. What were you born to do? What is your unique mission in life? What does God want you to do with your life? What are your unique opportunities that have been put in your path? And where can you make a difference? As you answer these questions, it will give you a clue about your destiny. And as you ponder these four questions, it will give you an idea about what we call your genius, the thing that you can only do, the thing that you were destined to do.
The 14th aha, leverage. Abraham Lincoln said, "It is much easier to ride the horse in the direction it is going." To become rich 1 minute at a time requires that you do what you love doing and you are passionate about it. Our friend Mike Lipman has coined the word and described the power that flows from each person who is living the charmed life. The word is leverage. The success of an enlightened millionaire is derived from leverage. Remember, the force that propels a human action is emotion. Feelings, not cold contagions, drive the enlightened millionaire to turn good ideas into great value. If you love what you're doing, it is much easier. Go back to the 13th aha. Which items on the genius list make your emotions sing? What you need to do is write out my potential path to riches includes, and then write out as long a list as possible. Now, Brighthouse is an ideation company, a perfect example of leverage at work. They charge clients like Coca-Cola, Georgia-Pacific, and Hardee's between $500,000 and $1 million for a single idea. Says Joey Ryman of the Brighthouse, "We do heartstorming, not brainstorming. Creativity is much more about what people feel than about what they think." Becoming an enlightened one-minute millionaire is easy as 1, 2, 3. Number one, do what you love. Number two, add enormous value. Number three, leverage it. This is a path. Millions follow it. And you can walk it, talk it, and live it.
The 15th aha. Imagination trumps will. Almost 100 years ago, a French doctor named Émile Coué said something profound. Quote, "When the will comes in conflict with the imagination invariably carries the day." End of quote. In other words, when your will, your rational, logical self, comes in conflict with your imagination, your creative right brain self, your imagination always wins. Did you get that? Your imagination always wins. Simply put, your imagination is the key. Case in point, a child is told there are no monsters under the bed, but when the lights go off, the childlike imagination runs wild. If you want to calm that child, you'll have more success by appealing to imagination than logic. Don't worry, dear. The monsters in our house aren't the kind that hurt kids. We only let the kind in that protect kids. We adults are no different, and the monsters we imagine are no less threatening. Have you ever held back for fear of rejection? Sure, we all have. We're all soft and fuzzy inside. We seek acceptance by our peers. We want to be loved. We crave it, and we hate to look like fools. Often we end up imagining the worst. We see them turning us down, hanging up on us, or refusing to do business with us. We end up mind-reading, projecting thoughts into other people's minds. I'll bet she doesn't like me. He probably can tell that I'm not as successful as I appear. We say all kinds of things to ourselves. Why don't you imagine the best? Picture yourself succeeding. See them accepting you, liking you, your ideas and your projects, saying yes. Imagine how good it could be. Insert positive thoughts into their minds. If you're going to be mind reading anyway, then mind read positively. They probably need what I'm selling. This just might be the answer they've been looking for. Here's the point. Imagining the best doesn't always work. Sometimes the worst does happen, but imagining the best works more often. Why? Because people actually do read your mind. What you think is projected through the airwaves to the person you're meeting with. They pick up on it subliminally. So if they're going to be reading your mind anyway, make sure that what they read is worth reading. Imagine the best case scenario. Project the best possible outcome. That's what enlightened millionaires do.
The 16th aha. The size of the question determines the size of the result. If you ask yourself, how do I create $1 million? Your mind goes to work to discover the answer. Your mind is compelled to work ceaselessly until a satisfactory answer is found. Note that most individuals ask themselves the questions like these. How do I get a job, salary, or work? Or can I earn $50,000 doing this or that? The wrong question will generate the wrong result or less than an outstanding outcome. Questions predetermine the answer. The size of your question determines the size of your answer. Few people ever ask $1 million earning, inventing, innovating, generating, and creating questions. They're yours to ask. Ben Feldman, known to many as the world's greatest insurance salesman, once taught me the difference between earning $100,000 per year and $1 million per year was effectively 1-0. To earn $100,000 per year, a commissionable salesperson must work 250 days at $400 a day. To earn $1 million a year, 400 must be increased to 4,000 per day. Notice the difference is 1-0. The mandate to make it happen was, if your loved one's life depended on it, could you do it? The answer is almost always a resounding yes. What that means is that the individual who asked the wrong question are living below their true potential. They have more ability and talent than they're willing to utilize. It is true of almost everyone. We are encouraging you to rethink what could be and then do it now. When we decide to create this thinking, we asked, how do we write a totally original script that stimulates the creation of 1 million millionaires and 400 billionaires in this decade? Bob had perfectly named the book The 1-Minute Millionaire. It was a leading-edge title with a big mission dedicated to serving greatly. Why? To change the economic future of the world and help create jobs for everyone. Entrepreneurship at its best is lasting, and it's the most fulfilling way to do it. Statistics prove each millionaire creates 10 new jobs, and each billionaire creates 10,000 new jobs. Therefore, we're dedicated to do the requisite seminars, teleconferences, trainings, and we ask you to visit our website, oneminutemillionaire.com, for more information on these services to help us achieve our objective that'll make the world work for 100% of humanity. All of this has happened because we kept asking others and ourselves strong, important, and big questions. Each question had big goals and dreams attached to it. As you ask yourself and others better questions, your results will vastly improve. The world will be better off. Your quantity and quality of service will expand. The difference you make will experience quantum change, and you will leave a profound legacy in the footprints of time.
The 17th aha. You already know the answer. Touch your finger to your forehead and say, this is the most powerful computer on the planet. The computer that is your brain records everything that happens to you for millions of different inputs simultaneously. Heat, light, moisture, sound. It keeps your body functioning, your heart beating, your lungs working. All of this beneath your conscious awareness. Everything you've ever learned in your life is indelibly recorded. Everything you have ever heard, said, read, seen, and experienced. This is the database you're carrying around with you. Some have even suggested that your DNA carries with it the wisdom of previous generations or a previous lifetime. In short, your unconscious databank is enormous. People don't have bad memories. They have perfect memories. They just have a bad system for accessing what is already there. Now, how does your intuition work? Suppose you're stewing on a decision. Your intuition scans through your enormous data bank of information, evaluating and processing, until it comes to a conclusion. It now tries to signal you. Here's the hard part. Your intuition is like a deaf mute with perfect vision. It can see clearly what to do, but only has subtle ways to signal you. Each person has a unique pathway to intuition. For some, the signal is a peaceful feeling. For others, it is a quiet, reassuring internal voice. For others, it is a flash of insight. It may be a combination of all three. How does your intuition signal you? Remember a time when you had a hunch, when you knew something was right. You just knew it. Go back to that time in your mind, rewind the memory till just before the moment of hunch, and then advance the memory, frame by frame, and notice any internal signals inside your body associated with the hunch. What do you notice? An image? A voice? A feeling? How do you know it is signaling the truth? You just know. Where do you know it? Notice where the feeling of certainty is centered in your body. Is it warm or is it cool? Is it clear or is it confusing? Does it ring true or is it muffled? You already possess an amazing ability to know which direction to go. You simply need to learn how to interpret your own signals. Take time to cultivate your intuition. Before you make a decision, check with your inner knower. Go with your gut. It's almost never wrong.
The 18th aha, be congruent. Sunlight focused through a magnifying glass can start a fire, but the conditions must be just right. If the magnifying glass is held too high above the paper, the rays are diffused and don't generate enough heat to make the fire. When you heat water to 212 degrees Fahrenheit, it begins to boil. If the temperature only reaches 211 degrees, the water won't boil. An airplane has to attain a certain ground speed before it lifts off into the sky. Any speed less than this will not produce flight, only a spectacular crash at the end of the runway. A satellite must reach escape velocity to break free of the Earth's gravitational pull. Then it falls into enormous, effortless orbit where the breath of the baby is enough to propel it. But the spacecraft doesn't reach escape velocity, it tumbles back down to the Earth. Some people expend enormous amounts of energy trying to become financially successful. They seem to do almost everything right. Set goals, read books, listen to tapes and audios, go to seminars. They go through all the right motions. Still, success seems somehow to elude them. Yet others appear to go through the same motions and are literally awash in abundance. What is the difference? To manifest abundance, you need to achieve congruence, the condition where all the parts of you are in alignment. You need to align three key parts. First is desire. You've got to want it. Second is belief. You've got to believe that you can make money and lots of it. Third is self-acceptance. You've got to believe that you deserve to be wealthy, to the very core of your being. If one of these is out of alignment, your energy is diffused, ineffective. For example, if you want to become wealthy and even feel you deserve it, but after several unsuccessful attempts, you form the belief that you're just not cut out for it, two of the three isn't enough. You're not congruent. You're only firing on two engines. It takes three to reach escape velocity. You fall back to the earth. Sound familiar? To produce enough heat to reach a boiling point, to attain the right ground speed, to achieve escape velocity, you need to be congruent. Every part of you must buy in, your heart, your mind, your spirit, all systems go. The enlightened millionaire is congruent.
The 19th aha, you are a money magnet. You a money magnet? Absolutely. Magnetism is one of the prime moving forces in the universe. It is the power that binds the galaxies together. It is the force that moves the tiniest subatomic particles in your own body. The Earth itself is a huge magnet. In everyday life, you find magnets in telephones, televisions, radios, computers, stereos, video cameras, and in all electric-powered home appliances, refrigerators, microwaves, and so on. Around every magnet, there is an invisible magnetic field of attraction. When a nail comes in contact with this magnetic field, it is drawn to the magnet as if by magic. The nail has no choice. It never says to itself, "I think I'll ignore the magnetic field today." Did you know that when a nail comes in contact with a permanent magnet, that the nail becomes a temporary magnet itself, acquiring powers of attraction that it did not previously possess? As long as the nail remains near the magnet, it retains these new magnetic powers. If the magnet is taken away, the nail returns to its original state. Why is this? When you examine the atoms of the nail under a microscope, you discover that they possess magnetic attributes, but they are disorganized. The atoms of the nail point in all different directions and thus cancel out one another's electromagnetic charge. By contrast, the atoms of a magnet are in perfect alignment. Their north and south poles face in the same direction. When a magnet attracts a nail, the atoms in the nail begin to line up to match the atoms in the magnet, becoming like the magnet. The more aligned these atoms become, the more the ordinary nail behaves like a magnet. Can you smell the analogy coming here? Your own body is a field of electromagnetic activity. Each of your trillions of atoms is a tiny machine that generates magnetic energy. You are a walking factory of magnetic power. You too possess magnetic properties, dormant powers of attraction. Since like attracts like, you attract the things you like or want. The more aligned you are with the things you want, the more powerfully you attract them. The things you congruently want have no choice but to be attracted to you. People who are aligned or congruent are attractive, magnetic, even charismatic. When you are with another congruent being, his or her magnetic power rubs off on you. The more congruent you are, the wider the magnetic field around you. When you are fully congruent, you are irresistible. As Napoleon Hill writes in Think and Grow Rich, quote, "Our brains become magnetized with the dominating thoughts which we hold in our minds, and by means which no man is familiar, these magnets attract to us the forces, the people, the circumstances of life which harmonize with the nature of our dominating thoughts." End of quote. In other words, you become a literal magnet for the things you want. If you really want money, money literally can't say no.
The 20th aha, knock and it shall be opened. I want to share with you from W.H. Murray's The Scottish Himalayan Expedition. This is powerful, poignant words that's going to make your soul soar, and we recommend that you listen to it multiple times until it permeates, penetrates, and fills the inner spaces of your being, and you take ownership of it. He said, "Until one is committed, there's hesitancy, the chance to draw back, always ineffectiveness. Concerning all acts of initiative and creation, there's one elementary truth, the ignorance of which kills countless ideas and splendid plans, that the moment one definitely commits oneself, then providence moves too. All sorts of things occur to help one that would never otherwise have occurred. A whole stream of events issues from the decision, raising in one's favor all manner of unforeseen incidents and meetings and material assistance, which no man could have dreamt would have come his way. I have learned a deep respect for one of Goethe's couplets, 'Whatever you can do, or dream you can, begin it. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it.'" Commitment is a spark that ignites a fire. Commitment is a key that starts the engine. When one lays down a line in the sand and declares, I'm committed to do this whatever it takes, for however long it takes, then an invisible signal goes forth like a radio beacon, resonating with whatever resources are necessary to complete the task. These resources begin to materialize as if by magic. Ideas begin to flow. Time slows down or speeds up to accommodate. People suddenly arrive as if summoned. How does this happen? Have you ever played with a tuning fork? When you tap the fork, it begins to vibrate and hum, sending out a sound vibration on a specific path through the air around it. If you place another tuning fork nearby, calibrated to the same tone, the second fork picks up the vibration and slowly begins to hum and vibrate in harmony with the first fork. If the second tuning fork is not pitched to the same tone, it does not vibrate. In a similar way, you send out silent, invisible signals. Most of the time, these signals are weak and unfocused. However, when you reach a certain level of commitment, the intensity of your vibration increases. Your spirit, your soul, your life force, whatever you want to call it, begins to oscillate at a higher frequency. These vibrations, like invisible radio signals, are picked up unconsciously by everyone you meet. The message is subtle but clear. I am committed. When you are committed, the cells of your body are energized by the passion of your purpose. Enlightened millionaires are committed. Please go back and think about this quote again. Are you committed? Have you memorialized your commitment by going to 1MinuteMillionaire.com and making your commitment public? When you make your commitment public, you get the support of thousands and perhaps even millions.
The 21st aha. Sharing is having more. The enlightened millionaire knows that giving is the highest form of manifestation of one's true nature. It is a combination of faith and action. What is the specific act we mean? Tithing. Enlightened millionaires donate the first 10% of all their incomes to the charities and/or churches in their communities. This giving multiplies prosperity a thousandfold. It worked for John D. Rockefeller, who was a meticulous tither. It also worked for Carnegie. Recently, it worked for Oprah, who has donated at least 10% of her annual income to charity, most of it anonymously, throughout her adult life. One of the world's greatest investors, Sir John Marks Templeton, founder of the successful Templeton Fund, said, quote, tithing always gives the greatest return on your investment, end of quote. Go behind the scenes of most great fortunes. You'll find a common pattern. The more they gave, the more they got. Why is this? Because giving expands money. How? Well, just as water exists in three forms, ice, liquid, and vapor, we find it useful to think that money exists in three dimensions, the frozen state, the material, the liquid state, the mental, and the ethereal or spiritual state. When you give money from an attitude of gratitude and abundance, it thrusts you from the material state into the ethereal or spiritual dimension. Just like water expands when it's heated, money expands when it's given away. Giving literally magnifies, multiplies, and exponentializes money. Conversely, the tighter you squeeze your money, the more compact it becomes. Dickens' mythical figure Scrooge vividly demonstrates the consequences of being tight-fisted, stingy, hard, and parsimonious with one's money. Many people in poverty consciousness think that money shrinks when you give it away. 100% minus 10% equals 90%, right? The enlightened millionaire knows that giving money actually expands in the spiritual dimension. 100% multiplied by 10% equals 1,000%. This is spiritual math. Tithing is a money multiplier, not a money subtractor. It expands, multiplies, and adds value to all that you do. When you begin to live this law, you'll lay claim to a multiplied harvest of 30-fold, 60-fold, or 100-fold. When you pick one apple off a tree, Mother Nature makes sure that next year there are two apples where that single apple was picked. One apple seed can create an apple tree, an apple crop, an apple forest, and enough apples over time to feed apples to everyone forever. The enlightened millionaire knows that giving is a seed that multiplies infinitely. Tithing is the tool. One of the richest men in Australia, industrialist Peter J. Daniels, said, "You cannot be greedy if you tithe." The enlightened millionaire donates the first 10% of all his or her income. This giving multiplies your prosperity a thousandfold. Committing to this will transform your life and make you richer than you ever dreamed possible. Are you willing to commit?
The 22nd aha. God knows where the gold is. The Gallup poll estimates that 95% of North Americans believe in God. If your spiritual life is so important to most of us, why don't we tap into the spiritual realms more often to reach our monetary goals? People don't usually associate money with spiritual matters. It is as if they want to maintain the separation of church and state in our personal affairs as well as in our politics. Is it that money doesn't mix well with God? Frankly, we think it's quite ridiculous to learn to master money without involving the author of all wealth. As someone said, God knows where the gold is. If you think about it, he probably knows which stocks are going to go up tomorrow and which real estate is bound to triple in value next year and which business ideas are destined to make some deserving person a millionaire. Before you start thinking that the Bible teaches poverty as a virtue, remember that Abraham, revered as a father of three great religions, Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, was also one of the wealthiest men in the world at the time, a billionaire by today's standards. And Abraham was very rich in cattle and in silver and in gold, Genesis 13:2. These material blessings are not a curse, but a reward for their faithfulness. Almost every spiritual path has sacred writings that teach about abundant universe and the importance of sharing our abundance. Here are two of our favorite passages. Check out Proverbs 3, if you would, please. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. And a famous one, Malachi 3:10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herein, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. In our study, we find no other promise made so clearly. God challenges us to prove him, to put him to the test. We have put this principle to the test. It works. The enlightened millionaire acknowledges that God knows where the gold is, and allow God to show you, too.
The 23rd aha, destruction is creation. After you've made the decision to become an enlightened millionaire, you may, like many people, run up against the phenomenon of hysteresis. Technically, the term describes the tendency of materials to snap back to their original shape once the pressure being applied is removed. For example, when a piece of steel is heated, it expands. Stop applying the heat, and the steel returns to its original condition as it cools. Hysteresis has taken place. Something similar takes place with human beings. Often, an individual returns to her or his original state when a new force is no longer being applied. It remembers where it was before the new force arrived, and it returns to that familiar place. To create permanent change within a material or a human being, a force must be applied that is strong enough to exceed the elastic limits of the object or old conditioning of the individual. How do you transcend your old habits and move to a new level in your life? First, start focusing on your future vision. The vision must be so strong that it dominates your thoughts, your choices, and your activities. What one attitude or habit can you eliminate right now that is hurting your ability to manifest $1 million? Maybe it's blaming others when something doesn't go right. Whatever it is, commit to making that behavior off limits. Start with just one off limits behavior and commit to keep it off limits. At the same time, identify one pattern that you are certain you must have to reach enlightened millionaire status. Maybe it's getting proper nutrition so you have more energy to do the things necessary to be a millionaire. Whatever it is, commit to making that behavior a must instead of a maybe. Then commit to stay on target until it becomes part of your new habit pattern. Now write down both commitments and put them where they can be seen each morning and each night. When you fail to keep your commitment, most people will, just acknowledge the failure and recommit. Remember what Henry Ford said, "Failure is the opportunity to begin again more intelligently." When you have gone 7 sequential days, both staying on target with the behavior you desire and off limits with the behavior you want to eliminate, then celebrate. Hysteresis has lost the majority, if not all, of its power. You have moved to the next level. When that objective is reached, it's not an end. It's just the beginning of the next phase. Focus again on your vision and add the next off-limits task and on-target's behavior to the same paper and repeat the process. Each cycle moves you closer to being an enlightened millionaire.
The 24th aha, putting it all together. Have you ever sabotaged yourself? Was there a part of you running around inside your mind setting booby traps to slow you down? Leaving landmines, setting ambushes, blowing up your own bridges, flattening your own tires, emptying your own bank accounts, spreading lies and rumors about you? Better catch that little saboteur before he does any more damage. Better catch him and convert him to your side. It's worth the effort to get congruent. Desire, belief, self-esteem. When you have these in alignment, you are a power to behold. But this process of alignment doesn't happen all at once. Sometimes it takes years. Other times it takes a near-death experience, or some call it a close call, to suddenly force you to wake up and get your act together. When you don't have any other choice, when it's a matter of survival, you usually figure things out. Whether slowly or suddenly, you wake up one morning and realize your someday is now. You want it. You believe it. The seed you planted so long ago is now ripe and ready to bear fruit. It may seem like we're spending a lot of time on inside stuff, but this is the hardest part. If you can get congruent, all the rest is child's play. Anyone can learn what to do. It's getting yourself to do it that's hard. Dr. Steve Covey loves to quote Lincoln and said, "If I had 8 hours to chop down a tree, I'd spend 7 sharpening my axe." Getting congruent is having a sharp axe. Most people get lost hacking their way through the jungle in pursuit of their goals. When you're congruent, you fly confidently over the jungle and land next to your objective to claim what you have so clearly envisioned. Getting your act together is a final key to manifesting what you want in your life. The first manifestation, I am enough. Today I'm enough. I'm smart enough. I'm wise enough, clever enough, resourceful enough, able enough, confident enough. I am connected to enough people to accomplish my heart's desire. I have enough ideas to pull off magic and miracles. Enough is all I need. Enough is what I have. I have more than enough. As I do all that I can do, I am able to do more and more. I'm excited to be alive. I rejoice and rejoice every day to make my life better. I am healthy, happy, prosperous, successful, rich, loving, loved, and beloved. I'm comfortable with myself, so I'm comfortable with all others. I confidently greet each day with a smile on my face and love in my heart. Everyone who meets me is warmed by the radiance of my attitude. I work in my attitude continuously. I read positive, inspiring, and uplifting books. I listen to audio tapes and CDs during my driving and exercise time. I associate with friendly, caring, nurturing people who are involved in doing important things. The people with whom I associate want more for me than I want for myself. The projects with which I am now involved wow my soul. I'm passionately on purpose to do good, be good, and help others to do the same. I am enough, I have enough, and I do enough.
Acres of Diamonds. In 1870, 27-year-old Russell H. Conwell was serving as an international correspondent for the American Traveler, a weekly journal published in Boston. On assignment, he was riding in a camel caravan along the valley between the Tigris and Euphrates rivers in Mesopotamia when he heard his Arab guide weave tales to entertain his American tourists. The young Conwell was deeply impressed by a legend about a prosperous Persian farmer, Ali Hafid. Lured by the stories of a Buddhist priest, Ali Hafid deserted his own fruitful farm to search for immense wealth in mythical diamond fields. Far and wide, Ali Hafid roamed, footsore and weary. Youth and wealth disappeared, and he died far from home, an old and disillusioned pauper. Not long afterward, the guide related, acres of fabulous diamonds were found on Ali Hafid's own land. To the other tourists, this was just another alluring story, but in Conwell's mind, a great truth had been sown. To him, it said, "Your diamonds are not in faraway mountains or in distant seas. They are in your own backyard if you will but dig for them." Throughout his life, Conwell applied this valuable lesson numerous times. Although he authored 40 books, he is most remembered for his famous lecture, Acres of Diamonds. In the early 1900s, he became America's foremost platform orator. By the end of his life in 1925, he had delivered that lecture more than 6,000 times in town after town across America. It was heard by millions from pulpits and public platforms and by radio, and today others are still reading his practical, optimistic essay and hearing it on cassettes. The full text of Conwell's speech, Acres of Diamonds, is found at the Temple University site at www.temple.edu. The money from his speeches was used to fund scholarships for Conwell's other great love, Temple University in Philadelphia. How this came about is a great story in and of itself. One evening in 1884, a young man approached Conwell and expressed a desire to prepare for the Christian ministry. Conwell offered to teach the youth one night a week, but on the agreed-upon evening, 7 earnest young men appeared. Conwell's class grew in numbers, the services of other teachers were enlisted, and it was necessary to rent a room, then a building, and then 2. Within a few years, the studious group had grown from 7 to several hundred students, and a charter for the Temple College was issued in 1888. Of course, Conwell already had been elected its president, a position he held for the next 38 years. A charter for Temple University was issued in 1907. Today, Temple University boasts 29,000 students. It is the 39th largest university in the United States and the largest provider of professional education, law, dentistry, medicine, pharmacy, and podiatric medicine in the country. No doubt you've heard of Temple's most famous trustee and alumnus, comedian Bill Cosby. Temple's founder, Dr. Russell Herman Conwell, lies at rest in the founder's garden, surrounded by splendid buildings of the attractive main campus of Temple University. Temple University itself is an enduring monument to his vision, truly his own acres of diamonds. A 1-minute review of the millionaire ahas. Aha number 1. Everyone manifests. If you don't have what you want, ask yourself, how did I manifest this? Aha number 2. Be, do, have. First be, then do, then you can have all the prosperity you want. Aha number 3. Live life above the line. If you're willing to learn instead of to blame, life will go more smoothly. Aha number 4. Abundance is your natural state. Opportunities and blessings flow to individuals who embrace an abundant attitude. Aha number 5. Givers get. Give, and it will be given to you. Aha number 6. Changing your reality is a snap. Control your thinking and you control your results. Aha number 7, words transform. Speak only with good purpose. If it doesn't serve, don't say it. Aha number 8, you are your wealth. All you need is a good idea and the commitment to do it. All the rest can be borrowed. Aha number 9, wealth is freedom. The 6 great freedoms are money freedom, time freedom, relationship freedom, spiritual freedom, physical freedom, and the freedom to pursue your genius. Aha number 10, it all starts with a dream. Give yourself permission to dream a big dream. You can have it all. Aha number 11, clarity is power. Don't think of your goals, think from your goals. Aha number 12, more clarity is more powerful. Write your 6 major goals down every single day. Aha number 13, tap into your genius. You have unique talents, abilities, interests, and values that only you can bring into greatness. Aha number 14, leverage. Do what you love and the money will follow. Aha number 15, imagination trumps will. When the will comes in conflict with the imagination always wins. Aha number 16, the size of the question determines the size of the result. As you ask yourself better questions, your results will vastly improve. Aha number 17, you already know the answer. Take time to cultivate your intuition. Go with your gut. It is almost never wrong. Aha number 18, be congruent. You've got to want it. You've got to believe you can make money, lots of it. You've got to believe that you deserve to be wealthy to your very core. Aha number 19, you are a money magnet. You are a literal magnet for the things you want. If you really want money, money literally can't say no. Aha number 20, knock and it shall be opened. Whatever you can do or dream you can, begin it. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it, said Goethe. Aha number 21, sharing is having more. Tithing is a money multiplier, not a money subtractor. Aha number 22, God knows where the gold is. Become a partner with the author of all wealth. Aha number 23, destruction is creation. Hysteresis is the enemy. Break through to a new level of results. Aha number 24, putting it all together. Getting your act together is the final key to manifesting what you want.
Leverage.
One of our breakthrough awarenesses is that leverage equals speed. Leverage equals speed. If you want to create wealth, you need leverage. Lots of it. There are 3 parts to leverage. First part of the objective is a dream, and you need to bring that into reality. The enlightened millionaire focuses on a dream that advances humanity. It adds enormous value. In this way, every dollar earned is an enlightened dollar. In addition, the processional events are always positive, and the dollars amount to millions, and a sense of gratitude permeates the enlightened millionaire's being. Second part is a fulcrum. That is you. You are the object upon which the lever pivots. Without you, there is no height to the lever, and the objective will never move, no matter how long the lever or how much the force is applied to the lever. The third part is the lever itself. When the objective and the fulcrum are in place, success depends on the length and strength of the lever. Assuming the lever is strong, it is all about the length of the lever. The longer the lever, the less force is needed to move the object. A long lever works easier and faster than a short one. Enlightened millionaires know speed is a new currency in business. Hence, enlightened millionaires create very long, strong levers.
The longer the lever, the greater the impact. As Archimedes said, give me a lever long enough and a place to stand, and I will move the entire earth. A movie star makes a movie once. The leverage comes when thousands of prints are made and the movie is shown all over the world. The money comes when millions of people pay to view it. A baseball player plays baseball. The leverage comes when he is watched by tens of thousands of fans at the stadium and viewed nationally on television. The large salary a ball player makes comes from the revenues of this leverage. Teachers, on the other hand, usually have 25 to 40 students per class. They have very little leverage, and thus their salary is relatively low. Both the baseball player and the teacher add value, with the teacher generally seen as adding more value. Yet the baseball player has the greater leverage and thus is able to demand and receive more money for his services than a teacher. All large sums of money embrace the generalized principle of leverage. For example, the first volume of Chicken Soup for the Soul added lots of value. It was a book that was written once, yet it was purchased by millions. Once the book became a hit, the authors were able to leverage the Chicken Soup brand into many other books, for example, Chicken Soup for the Teenage Soul, as well as other products like the Chicken Soup calendars. Tens of millions of these products have been and are continuing to be sold. This leverage creates continuous income streams, not only to the authors, but also to the publishers, distributors, bookstores, and many others. The book Nothing Down explains the power of leverage in real estate. For example, if you put 10% down on a $200,000 home that goes up in value by 5% in 1 year, then the property is worth $210,000. You get the leverage not only on your $20,000, but also on the remaining $180,000 that you've borrowed. Your $20,000 investment has earned you $10,000, a 50% return on your money. When you're able to buy real estate for no money down and it goes up in value, you've created a return on someone else's money. Of course, some time and effort are involved. However, computing a financial return on no money invested shows an infinite return on your investment. That is infinite leverage.
The awesome power of leverage. Leverage is a power to control a lot with just a little. Big doors swing on little hinges. In the business world, there are five kinds of leverage. OPM, other people's money. In real estate investing, we buy real estate with 10% down, yet we control 100% of the property. The classic investment book, Nothing Down, teaches how to achieve the ultimate leverage, how to buy a property with little or no money down. Thousands of people have become millionaires using this system. Next, OPE, other people's experience. It takes too long to learn it yourself, so borrow or learn from others. The easiest way to become rich is to apprentice personally to someone who is rich. Learn all they know. Meet all their contacts and do what they do, even do it better. If it isn't possible, read their books, listen to their audios, watch their videos, interview them if possible, and attend their seminars. One idea you learn can save you 10 years of long work effort. Leverage is about maximizing your results in a minimum amount of time. Therefore, absorb lifetime bodies of information and insight compressed into instant usability just for you in the forms of books, audios, CDs, films, videos, and seminars. This is the cheapest, quickest, and best way to gain OPE. Next, OPI, other people's ideas. When I wanted to become a professional speaker, I attended the first National Speakers Association back in 1974. The dean of speakers, Cavett Robert, and co-founder of the association, talked about how to create multi-authored books. Within a month, I'd adopted the idea and co-created a book with Keith DeGreen called Stand Up, Speak Out, and Win. I enrolled 14 co-contributors who each invested $2,000 for a minimum of 1,000 books each. That was my first zero-cash investment. I capitalized on somebody else's idea to personally earn $200,000 that first year by selling 20,000 copies at $10 each from the platform. My objective for you is that you associate with people who can share with you their most powerful, money-making, duplicatable ideas. Next, OPT, other people's time. Individuals will sometimes volunteer their time to certain circumstances, but most will sell you their time, talent, connections, resources, and know-how relatively inexpensively. Leverage yourself with professionals who are excellent and unique at employing their abilities. Next, OPW, other people's work. Most people want a job. They want security rather than opportunity. Hire and delegate to them everything you don't want to do or can't do well. Leverage yourself through people and grow. Millionaires master all five kinds of leverage, and you can too. Applying maximum leverage. Alone, you are without leverage. You have to rely on your own knowledge, your own experience, your own money, your own resources. This is a long, slow way to wealth. Eventually, your resources will run out. You'll become discouraged, and you'll probably quit. Your first form of leverage is to acquire a mentor. Your mentor has tackled this mountain before you. Your mentor knows the terrain, the challenges, and the pitfalls. Your mentor knows what to do. More important, your mentor knows what not to do. This is the first shortcut, avoiding lost time and money by trying to correct rookie mistakes. Your mentor also knows the shortcuts, the time savers, and little tricks. You need a mentor. Your second form of leverage is to acquire a team. Together, you all achieve more, faster, and easier. You can spot one another's blind spots. You can encourage, discourage team members. They can encourage you when you're down. They fill in the gaps in your skill sets. They can be strong where you're weak. As a team, you all run faster. A 4x4 relay team runs a mile about 2 seconds faster than an individual runner. You want speed, you need a team. Your third form of leverage is a network. Each team member knows at least 100 valuable contacts. A team of 6 therefore knows 600 people. If each of these people know 100 valuable contacts, then you have access to 60,000 valuable contacts. But these numbers are deceiving. It has been calculated that the value of a network is the square of the number of people in it. If your immediate network consists of 600 people, then your ultimate reach is 600 times 600 or 360,000 valuable contacts. Obviously, one person team is not enough. You need the power of a network. In your network, there are several key contacts. People who control huge networks of people. A key contact has make it happen power. One word from this key contact and things happen. The value of a large network is increased probability of finding the key contact. Remember, all it takes is one key contact. Your fourth form of leverage is the infinite network. There's a spiritual connection that links us all up. This is a realm of coincidence, serendipity, chance, twist of fate. Tapping into the infinite network is the ultimate form of leverage. Your fifth form of leverage is the use of tools and skills. Millionaires use the tools of wealth, computers, the internet, email, for fast communications, fast calculations, fast decisions. If you want a speedy result, you need instant information. Your sixth form of leverage is systems. Every millionaire has systematized, streamlined, and organized the processes of wealth. The most efficient form of information transfer is to learn your mentor system and follow it. Whether you've chosen real estate, the stock market, business, or the internet, learn the system. With the combined force of mentors, teams, networks, infinite networks, tools, proven systems are applied to a strong, long lever, miracles can happen in minutes. The second manifestation, I'm a money magnet. I am a money magnet. I like money and money likes me. I attract money. I track money 24 hours a day. I earn bountiful amounts of money. I wisely know how to create money. I know that I will always have more money in my future than I do now. The money that I create keeps multiplying, duplicating, and replenishing itself. I am forever enjoying more and more money. I have infinite money, more than enough for my every want, need, and desire. I cheerfully save money. I faithfully save 10% of all my money that I earn. I wisely invest my money. I see my money recreating itself effortlessly. I cheerfully give money to good and worthy causes and philanthropies that make a lasting and ongoing difference. My estate is in perfect updated order, and will have a lasting legacy that makes an important and memorable difference. Money rushes to me in every form and fashion. I have lots and lots of money. I have money in my mind, in my future, in my pocket, in my wallet, in my safe, in my bank accounts, in my businesses, in my investments, and wherever it keeps growing. I enjoy money, and money enjoys me. Money and all its equivalents are attracted to me. Money is forever making an infinitely better off. All I do creates surplus, abundance, and plenty for myself and everyone else.
The real Rocky story. In 1974, Sylvester Stallone was a broke, discouraged actor and screenwriter. While attending a boxing match, he became inspired by a nobody boxer who went the distance with the great Muhammad Ali. He rushed home and in a 3-day burst of creative output, produced the first draft of the screenplay entitled Rocky. Down to his last $106, Stallone submitted his screenplay to his agent. A studio offered $20,000 with either Ryan O'Neal or Burt Reynolds playing the lead character. Stallone was excited by the offer, but wanted to play the lead himself. He offered to act for free. He was told, "That's not the way it works in Hollywood." Stallone turned down the offer, though he desperately needed the money. Then they offered him $80,000 on the condition that he wouldn't play the lead. He turned them down again. They told him that Robert Redford was interested, in which case they'd pay him $200,000. He turned them down once more. They upped their offer to $300,000 for his script. He told them that he didn't want to go through his whole life wondering what if. They offered him $330,000. He told them that he'd rather not see the movie made if he couldn't play the lead. They finally agreed to let him play the lead. He was paid $20,000 for the script, plus $340 per week minimum actor's scale. After expenses, agent fees, and taxes, he netted about $6,000 instead of $330,000. But in 1976, Stallone was nominated for an Academy Award as Best Actor. The movie Rocky won 3 Oscars, Best Picture, Best Director, and Best Film Editing. The Rocky series has since grossed about $1 billion, making Sylvester Stallone an international movie star. Follow your gut. Stick to your guns.
This book is continued on Disc 3.